Radio Show with your host, Lonnie Clark. We stand together and accept that we now live in a world transformed by Fukushima. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time here on UCY.tv Radio. We relentlessly engage every ear that listens. We expose and confront the complete lack of accountability for the nuclear industry. Consider social engineering programs who view our bodies, minds, and souls as assets on a balance sheet. We discuss vital current issues, interview activists, and engage our audience in an effort to allow all voices to be heard. The Age of Vision Radio Show creates a venue that all will choose. We encourage our listeners to reclaim their power and their courage to take action and save our planet from the ravages of greed and indifference. Our actions matter. Every voice matters. We remind our listeners that happiness is resistance. Love is greater than fear. Good morning, UCY.tv radio listeners. This is Lonnie Clark with the Age of Vision Radio Show. Thank you for joining us, and I know you know where we're at, but just in case you're listening to the podcast, we'll remind you you're on www.ucy.tv/AOF. Lonnie Clark, 8 o'clock in the morning, February 9th, 2017. And I cannot tell you how delighted I am to have a friend of our show back on with us. I have sort of transformed the show into talking to activists and healers and leaders. One of the things I want to announce is I'm going to actually figure out a way to put my calendar up on my Facebook page, on my YouTube channel. I think my Google Plus will put it up there. It'll be the Age of Vision at Gmail or Age of Vision at Gmail. I'll let you know the exact link. But that way, because I usually book out about a month ahead of time. But thank you for joining us. Today we have Wendy Lametta, who is from St. Louis. She's a St. Louis activist and victim. And thriver, not just a survivor, a thriver. So welcome, Wendy. Thank you for joining us.
Oh, thank you so much for having me on, Lonnie. It's great to talk to you, and I really appreciate your giving me time this morning.
Oh, man, I love you can have as much time as you want, anytime you want, because in my view, as I said to you right before we started, you are and exemplify what America's values really are. And some of the things you talk about at the core of the issues that are affecting your daily life and your health are really about what America was set up to be, not what we've been told by our elected officials it is, right?
Well, so, that is certainly true. They do have an image that they need to maintain. And certainly with our fearless leader being a television celebrity, that is kind of forward in a lot of people's thinking right now is the image instead of really what is the meat and potatoes of the issue, the heart of the matter, which is that people's best interests are probably not being taken into account right now. I shouldn't even say probably. I'm very against Betsy DeVos being nominated and or being chosen as the Department of Education Secretary. I think that's a terrible choice. She has no experience. I'm not happy.
It's the wrecking ball cabinet, Wendy. It's the wrecking ball cabinet. That's let's be clear. All of them suck. Every one of them are an attack on American institutions to kill the New Deal, period. They've been after this a long time. Mission accomplished. You made a really good point about Trump's would you mind if I read this first so we can base this entire conversation on the preamble of the United States Constitution? We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and to our posterity. Do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America.
Those are powerful words.
And you know what? What was it you said to me right before we got on the air about the tax cuts?
Well, that we should really think as Americans about who these tax cuts are going to benefit and who is going to pay the price for those. And right now, and especially for yesterday in terms of children, we're not doing ourselves any favors in terms of the dumbing down of America and the dumbing down of the population. The people in charge don't want a nation of leaders. They want a nation of workers. And we need more people to, you know, step up and say that the middle class is being ill-represented. The average American worker's pay has only increased marginally, whereas the average CEO's pay increase is something like 987%. So, you know, this structural imbalance of money, which actually kind of was based from Reagan's voodoo economics plan, you know, put the money back in the hands of the employers. But unfortunately, the employers didn't create other jobs. They kept the money for themselves. And time has shown this over and over again. So why anyone
people just need to, they need to read Dickens. What we're talking about, again, is the lack of education. If you read Dickens, we know exactly what happens when the rich people have all the money. They have options. When the reason we have poverty is people with great wealth choose not to help the cities that they live in, period. And I believe in the United States, it's not just a GOP thing. The Democrats, Nancy Pelosi, I about split a gut. In fact, I called her office the night before I heard this young man stand up on television. I talked about it before, and he dared ask her a real question that was not pre-approved and about, you know, the inequity. And she's like, well, get over it. We're a capitalist system. That's it. We're just capitalists. You have to accept it that we're capitalists. And I called her office and I read her this thing. And I said, you know, how dare you? It doesn't say anywhere in here that we're capitalists. They're part of the problem. Joe Manchin just voted for Jeff Sessions. Joe Manchin. I mean, it's, ugh.
The binary system really is corrupt. And for as long as it's, you know, the Republicans against the Democrats, or the, you know,
that's
conservatives
right.
against liberals, then it will always be a divided nation. And I think more people identify with it being one nation. And so I'm not I don't think that California needs to go. I don't think that Texas needs to go. I think we all need to stick together and figure it out and work within the common good for everyone, just like the preamble stated, like you just said. It is through that forward improvement that we're going to improve as a species. But, you know, we still have people that are climate change deniers. And I just don't understand that, how one day of climate change or one day of warm weather can support climate change. But
look, the climate change deniers
don't demonstrate against creationism. So, you know, I don't understand the picking and choosing of information. So it's, yeah, we need to get back to an evidence-based system where science matters. And, you know, this is something right out of Hitler's playbook to suppress science in this way.
So, novel idea. Novel
sorry,
idea. I said novel idea where science matters.
Well,
look,
that is the
you
hope,
said something to me that I want you to say again because you said it so eloquently. About how government functions, like the function of government, the
right.
function of government is, explain that again. You said that so great. And the function of.
Well, thank you. Well, what I was comparing it to was the function of business. The function of business is to make money for everybody. It's the stockholders' bottom line at the end of the day, how much money is this worth? And the function of government is actually to protect and defend the interests of Americans, not to be open for business, not to be a big marketing ploy, not to be, you know, I agree that America needs to develop American products and sell them to a worldwide market. That's only fiscal common sense. But the role of government is not to be directing in that manner. Those issues work themselves out. That's how come we have unions. That's why we have protection. When we have things like right to work coming in, they actually take the rights away from people because they don't have to ensure that there is safety measures in place or, you know, other things that the unions have done in the interest of the workers. And now we're reverting back to a society that is embracing the separation of that, which is really sad to see, because government's only role, really, is to protect and defend the interest of the American people, not to just sell their products. That's what, you know, some people seem to think, but that is not the place of government. Government is to protect everyone. And although I am not personally covered by the Affordable Care Act, I know that millions are. And I don't know what is going to happen when, you know, the Republicans repeal Obamacare and don't replace it immediately. I think people may, it may, you know, get really ugly. I don't know what's going to happen, but I hope that they don't consider that because that is an inhumane act. I can't stress enough how far back the United States is in terms of a developing country because we don't have universal health care. We're way behind so many other countries. And, you know, some people will say, well, you know, there's more of an opportunity to earn money. Well, you know what? Money, what good is money if you know, the people around you are all sick and dying because they haven't had environmental protection? You know, it's just, it's a very twisted
Well,
logic.
Ask that same question to the rich people in India. They'll say the same thing. It's perfectly fine because they deserve to be poor. See, these, what they're doing, see, they don't need to roll back Obamacare. You know how Obamacare is going to collapse under its own weight? They're going to defund the schools, defund EPA. People are going to get so sick, they're going to be uneducated, their children won't be able to go to school, the local systems are going to break in the poor states, and there's just going to be a bunch of people that are going to have to go to jail because they're going to be desperate and resorting to crime in the underground and ways to get by. And then they're going to have free labor to Intel. Why do you think Intel is building a large facility in Arizona? What do you think is nearby? I mean, honestly, the outrageousness of what they are setting up, it's very perfectly clear what they're doing. It's perfectly clear. They could care less about our environment, our people, our children, our future. It's them that they care about.
Pretty much. And besides that, they have the ability to afford the protection against things that could hurt them. So, you know, and when they don't have that, they have the President of the United States tweeting about it. This is such an alternate reality for me. I almost can't believe that we're living it here. And
you know what? The sad part is that our elected officials are not taking this office with respect. They are not stepping in and saying, Mr. President, if you do not stop tweeting and demeaning the office of the president and demeaning elected officials and judges in our country, we are going to start impeachment processes right now. The Republicans need to be saying this. This is bull. On the White House answering machine, it says, send us a letter. They don't give you the address. Send us an email. Or send us a Facebook Messenger message. They're promoting, the White House is promoting with the full force of the White House, a private corporation by saying that. That's why we have .gov so that we don't have to promote a private corporation.
I agree 100%. And to my knowledge, Kellyanne Conway came under fire this morning for defending that. And as a federal employee, it was inappropriate for her to do so. It's bad enough that, you know, Trump thinks that he is invincible and that, you know, that he can do no wrong. But, you know, I hope that the obviousness and the clear violation that she has made now, you know, and so she hasn't discredited herself enough under alternative facts. I just, like I said, this is like an alternative reality for me. I actually just can't believe that this is, that we're having this conversation about something like alternative facts. What the hell? I mean, I'm sorry, but this is just,
Wendy,
I don't know what people were thinking. Yeah.
We've been living with alternative facts since World War II. Since they started the nuclear program, they chose a whole system of alternative facts. We
Right.
have been living the lie of nuclear, and in fact, this is exactly where the EPA is. I mean, I don't know how the people in St. Louis feel hearing that the Congress wants to defund the EPA. For God's sakes, it's outrageous. Don't you feel that way?
Oh, I'm so disheartened, and yet I actually kind of felt that this was coming. I felt in November when he won the election, I was like, that had to be, that's going to be the first thing to go. That's honestly what I thought. I just,
Well, he said
that's
that in
what I.
2015. He has been saying, I'll cut the schools. I'll defund the schools. Public schools don't need to be around the states. The states need to handle it. Cities need to handle it. And the EPA, local cities can handle that too. So we're not going to deal with it. He doesn't
Well, actually,
understand how the government works, is essentially what he says when he talks like this. He thinks he can run this government like he does a business and just go to. He doesn't understand when you go to court, that's the government that he's now running, right? So you can't just tell judges to do things for you because it affects people down the line. It's just like, wow, incomprehensible ignorance.
he has never, he doesn't, he hasn't read the Constitution. He hasn't read the Bible. He said that he was quoting from 2 Corinthians. What the? I can't believe. I just, yeah, it's, I'm personally insulted. So at any rate, this conversation here is actually providing me a nice segue into what I wanted to bring up, which is that there is going to be a FUSRAP meeting, which is under the Army Corps of Engineers, and they are going to be providing an update of Coldwater Creek next week. On Thursday, they have a meeting in Hazelwood on the 16th. I believe it's either 6 or 6:30 at the Hazelwood Civic Center, I believe. But this is the Army Corps of Engineers, not the EPA. This is FUSRAP, so the Formerly Utilized Sites Remedial Action Program, that has been working in St. Louis for about 20 years now, cleaning up the radioactive pollution from uranium processing from Mallinckrodt. From World War II era waste, and they are going to provide an update of their cleanup activities in North County. And just to reiterate for maybe some of your listeners that may not know, the uranium pollution has been found in residential areas along Coldwater Creek, and the Army Corps of Engineers is actively remediating the area, removing the contaminated soil, putting it into box cars on a train that are in containment vessels. They've never had an accident with one, and shipping it away to an area that I believe is licensed to accept this waste. It's been sitting out in open areas where people can access it in people's yards, in parks, so in the middle of residential areas here in North County. So I'll be looking forward to hearing their update. I know that they've worked in a park in the area that I know that Girl Scouts had been scouting in. So I'm very interested to hear the updates on the park cleanup.
When is this
And
exactly? What day?
it's
What's the
next
date?
week on Thursday the 16th, and it's the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, FUSRAP, the Formerly Utilized Sites Remedial Action Program. This is the federal government jurisdiction of cleaning up World War II uranium processing waste that stems from the Manhattan Project here in St. Louis. So we actually processed the original uranium for the Fermi pile at the University of Chicago, where the first chain reaction with uranium was demonstrated. And was kind of the beginning of all of it. That's why St. Louis is the first secret city, because this was all done in strictest confidence under the government for World War II efforts that eventually led to the processing of uranium for Los Alamos and eventually for I don't remember which one had uranium. The other one had plutonium, but it was either Fat Man or Little Boy. But either way, both atomic reactions, both radioactive particles that create waste that is essentially eternal waste. We can never, it will never go away for as long as we can conceive. Its half-life is billions of years. So it's literally as old as the earth. We need to get it up and out of here and away from children and away from homes and out of parks and get it out of here. So that's what the Army Corps of Engineers has been doing. Like I said, I believe they're in their 20th year of remediating St. Louis. They had many areas downtown where at Mallinckrodt the uranium was processed. So they had huge buildings that they had to tear down and all kinds of cleanup going on downtown for many years. And then they've also had what's called vicinity properties, which is where they took the waste that they had created through their atomic processing, and they had enriched the uranium, and all of this creates radioactive waste, which then got transported out to an area by the airport and put in two separate areas. They're called the Slaps Pile and the Hiss Pile, and they leached into Coldwater Creek and polluted it. And that is where the radioactive contamination is currently being cleaned out of the residential areas in North St. Louis. So it all stems back from 1942 and beyond, and this is eternal waste. It will always be harmful, so we need to get it away from where people would be in contact with it, and that's what the Army Corps of Engineers has been doing. So they give a twice yearly update. So, you know, usually this winter update and then one in the late summer, and so I hope we get a lot of good information about what they've found. And I've spoken to the health physicist that actually calculates the amount of exposure that you know, people would be exposed to. And he has given me a lot of confidence in, for one thing, that the waste seems to be buried in North County. It's, you know, it would be underneath a layer of dirt or sediment or something where they would be able to excavate it without a lot of particles flying around or, you know, things that would somehow make it unsafe for them to be able to clean it up. So I'm grateful to the Army Corps of Engineers to I can only hope that this is a program that is going to continue as it is a separate entity from the EPA. And the reason for that is because the Department of Energy is one of the PRPs, potentially responsible parties. It basically means that they're financially responsible for what they created during wartime. It is ultimately their property forever. They created this waste, and now it is their responsibility to clean it up. So that's what we're working with, and it is
Well, I'll include a link. I just found the link while you were talking on this on this thing about the dates. So it talks about where it is. So I included a link to the USACER.ARMY, the Army Corps of Engineers. It's their page. They have information on it. And if the link isn't exactly perfect, like somehow it gets, you know, the information doesn't copy on there, it takes you directly to their page, and you can find the information out about exactly where it's at. But this has information on here about St. Louis for people to actually, as I find that's one of the interesting things, Wendy, a lot of people in St. Louis still don't really understand the gravity of what's there. They see it and they go, yeah, like me, they're sort of like how I used to be about San Onofre. Oh, yeah, that's something the government's doing. They're taking care of us. But they don't really understand the gravity of it, do they?
Well, I think people are becoming more and more aware. I think that when people see a guy with a hazmat suit on walking around in their backyard, it gives them a clue.
Did they really come with a hazmat suit to your house to look?
Well, not to my house. I don't live right there.
Yeah, but I mean to their houses?
Yeah, well, I mean, I would actually need to look in the FUSRAP newsletter to ensure that they were all using their proper PPE to do their sampling and whatnot. But I believe that, yes, they have to have some kind of hazmat stuff on when they're remediating it, because it's definitely hazardous material.
Do you know a lot about this? It seems, I mean, you've been living with it, and you've been an activist for a good long while now. And so you go to these meetings, you talk to these people, and you understand it. So removing and remediating the soil like they're doing in Fukushima is the standard procedure when there's a contaminated area? Does that seem to be like the best advice they have for you guys is just take the soil away? Do they wash your houses down when they take the soil away and clean everything like they do?
I would probably need to be a little bit more involved in the process regarding the Army Corps of Engineers' role in testing. My understanding is that anyone that has a concern or a question about the area that they're currently remediating, they should definitely come to the meeting because that's where they're going to get the most comprehensive information, the most up-to-date information, and all of the experts to talk about it. So I'm only one
Ask
person
all
who
the
does
and
not
you
have, you know, the
right.
expertise at all.
But
So,
you don't you live in like Weldon Springs, which is outside of that area? If I
well, I
recall.
live in St. Charles, just on the other side of the Missouri River. So
Oh,
it's,
okay.
but it's, I mean, when you say, is that typical? Well, it might be typical among the places that are actually identified. As you know, Westlake Landfill also has some of that World War II radioactive waste, not as much as what Coldwater Creek had, but it is there. And unfortunately, they have a fire that's been burning for several years next to it. So there's a lot of really immediate concerns about many things, including the radioactivity and the legitimate concerns that the sites have never been properly characterized. If they've never tested it, then they never know how bad it is. So the fact is, the Army Corps of Engineers has a more defined process. They go from a logical conclusion of where they find some. They're going to try to track it all the way and get it from an area of higher concentration all the way down to an area of zero concentration, or you know what would be considered background level. And so they have a more defined process. That said, not all laws encompass the radioactive pollution of what the Army Corps of Engineers is remediating. There's other areas that are not being remediated that is also a concern. But this update is specific to these areas that are being remediated and that are getting this this hot material out of neighborhoods and backyards and parks where people could be exposed. So that's really the thrust of, you know, what is important about this issue, because in other areas, people may be getting exposed, or maybe they might not be getting exposed. But the people from the Coldwater Creek area, we know that they have been exposed. It's been found to be in the residential areas. We know that these people were exposed. So it's not a question of if, it's a, you know, it's a definite when and how much and for how long. So it's been a real education. There's definitely a learning curve. A lot of people are intimidated by the science. I don't claim to be an expert in any area. I'm definitely not a scientist or anything like it. I really just kind of have bare bones knowledge, but of, you know, kind of a whole big picture of it. I understand exactly who is holding the purse strings in this. The federal government wouldn't be committing billions of dollars to the cleanup of the Coldwater Creek area if it wasn't because it was toxically polluted and harmful to humans. Otherwise, they wouldn't spend a dime on it. That's the reason why they're cleaning it up, is because it's harmful to humans. So we just all have to be aware. We have to understand what things like SUSREP, you know, the federal government really doesn't ever miss a step when it comes to trying to soften the blow. You know, instead of saying we're here to remove the ionizing radiation pollution in your neighborhood that can cause cancer, instead they say, we have these guys from a team called SUSREP that are going to come and take soil samples out of your yard. Is that okay? Sure. And, you know, and they never explain it, or, and people never get a complete
Wow.
understanding what that means. And what it means is that SUSREP stands for the formerly utilized site. Well, what does that mean right there? Formerly utilized site of what? Site of World War II war weapons waste, uranium processing, okay, and then remedial action program, the removal of those war weapons waste. So even just the language, you know, instead of saying we're here to clean it up, they say, oh, well, we're with the SUSREP team. It kind of automatically
Well, because
becomes
there's FUSREP sites all over that aren't connected to that. So that's why they use it. They don't say we're here to remediate the site that was used in World War II. We're here to remediate, who knows? Like FuseWrap, does other sites, like that chemical spill that affected me in Southern California was managed, quote, managed as a FuseWrap site.
As a fuse wrap site or as a
Because it was
Superfund site?
chemicals,
Because
it was chemicals that was used. That's the thing. This is, go ahead.
nope, I was just going to say that the formerly utilized sites actually refers to the that it would
Strictly
be
nuclear.
a war. I don't know that it would strictly be nuclear, but I believe it is specific
Oh,
to war weapons waste.
yes,
So it would have
yes.
had to have been some type of chemical warfare, perhaps like DNT or TNT
Yeah,
or some other
it
type of
was
chemical.
horrible. Yes, it was.
So, okay, well, I believe FUSRAP, does all of the war commissioned cleanups, if that makes sense. Anything that would be that when you mentioned Walden Springs, it's actually not very far away from me here in St. Charles County. And that is it was actually the very first one of its kind ever built in the country. And it's a giant tomb that encapsulates, I believe it's 1.5 million cubic yards of nuclear waste. And this is an engineered fix, which means that it has a lined bottom so that it will not leach into groundwater or expose. And then there's a giant, I don't know what you would call it. It's a big top that has rocks on the top of it, and they turned it into something called an interpretive center. And it's actually the highest point in elevation in St. Charles County. So it's the big mountain of the county where I live. The highest point of elevation is the giant nuclear pile. So
Wow.
not exactly a proud thing for me to have learned, but I'm glad to
Wow.
know about it and understand it. And there have been experts that have said that engineered fixes are prone to mistakes and prone to problems. So really, I don't have any. They say that this is supposed to contain this nuclear waste for 1,000 years. Well, the radioisotopes themselves are going to be alive for 4.5 billion years. So what about after the first 1,000? They have, and I understand it,
Right.
the thing is, why wouldn't they take it away from here to begin with? Well, quite frankly, because there's just already so much pollution here that it's just they had to do as much damage control as they were required by law to protect. And and did it the like I said, it was the very first time in the country that they ever encapsulated radioactive waste in this way. So, and they had to do that in St. Charles County because they had done so many. Are you still there, Lonnie?
I am. I'm just listening to
Okay.
you.
Oh, okay.
I'm just
Perfect.
listening
Okay.
deeply to what you're
Oh,
saying.
okay. I just my phone beeped and I thought maybe we had gotten disconnected. At any rate, this tomb with the first of its kind waste, they had to put it where they did because it was so polluted in that area already, and it was a quarter mile away from drinking water. And so they had to do something. They were at the point where they knew that they were going to be legally responsible, and so they had to do something. So they finally did really the minimum thing. What they should have done is gotten rid of it, gotten it out of the area, away from people, away from water, instead of putting it in an engineered fix that's going to be prone to failure.
I'm shocked, Wendy. Like, to be honest, like when you first started talking and questioned me about the fuse wrap thing, I'm like, well, maybe I'm wrong. So as you were first getting into this, I pulled up a fuse wrap site and then I typed in because where I lived was talking about this is how easy it is to confuse. I was thinking it's a Superfund site, which is different than a fuse wrap site. And you see these acronyms, these names, they make you get all confused. So you forget that we're talking about World War II atomic bomb waste. It gets you
Right.
kind of, and I'm looking at this map and I am like flabbergasted at the fuse wrap sites. I'm going to see if Jules can include this also in the, because this, if people saw where these fuse wrap sites are, The original United States, the whole upper part of it is just one big toxic mess with nuclear pollution. It's almost as if they were trying to commit suicide on the original states. It's like so amazing.
Well, it's hard to believe that people could be that careless without it being on purpose.
Yes.
I'd like to think that maybe some people didn't understand the seriousness of it, or didn't understand the toxic qualities and how something that they couldn't see or smell or hear
Yeah.
or taste. I think that's one of the real confusing parts about nuclear pollution, is because it's not, the oil that's on top of the water that we're drinking. It's not something that is palpable to the physical senses. It just turns up as cancer later in life. So, and as many other things, anyone with questions about exposure should definitely check out the CDC website, because they list the potential diseases that people could get from exposure to radioactive waste and ionizing radiation. So it's definitely something to be educated about. People don't understand that this is something that hits us every day. We already absorb a certain amount of radiation from the atmosphere, from the sun, and from rocks and different geological things. But nowhere, even in the United States, did they have the uranium that was processed for St. Louis. That actually was
Right.
mined in from Africa. So
And Canada.
and Canada, but it was actually the Shinkolobwe mine in the Belgian Congo that produced this highly already rich
Wow.
uranium that was up in the 60%, where as I
Wow.
believe anything in the northern America would be less than double digits in terms of the
Wow.
already enriched uranium itself. So that is how St. Louis is unique, is that, not only do we have this radioactive pollution, but we have, literally already the most, pure and the most refined uranium. So we have really bad uranium pollution and the oldest uranium pollution, because at the time that they were mining it, they likely didn't understand all of the health concerns that have come to bear throughout the years of studying and understanding it more. And that said, we still don't know many things about it. One thing that is a question is, well, the name of your show, Age of Fission, well, that implies a fissile event. And in the case of the uranium that has been processed and polluted in North County, St. Louis, that is pre-fissile uranium. It hasn't exploded in a bomb yet. So it's enriched uranium that hasn't been part of the chain reaction of events that a bomb would have all at once. This is slowly emitting this radioactivity over time, over billions of years. So that's why it's so important that we get rid of it, every bit of it. It doesn't need to be anywhere near where populations exist. It was mined way down deep in the earth, and maybe there's a reason that it was there, because it was
Yeah.
meant to be preserved and protected and, kind of hidden away from people until they, come to understand it more. Look at Marie Curie, who died of the radioactivity that provided her the Nobel Prizes. So it's really a mixed blessing, but it's definitely not a blessing when you're looking at cancer treatment options or things like that. So we need to educate the public about how they are susceptible to additional radioactive exposure through this type of pollution, and they really need to get educated about how to minimize their exposure, how to maintain a healthy lifestyle so that their immune system is strong and is able to deflect some of the disease-causing properties of radiation. But the bottom line is, it only takes one cell's DNA to misreplicate and turn into a cancerous tumor. So every day, everyone is shooting craps out there, and their number could be called at any time. But what we need to do is realize the risk factors of the things that cause that and then try to minimize people's involvement with those substances. So, yep, it's
Amen
an uphill
that,
battle.
Yeah.
Lon, and so
it is. Well, because we're here. There's no getting around it. Like, we're here. They've done it to us. It's not like we can go, oh, well, we wish we could not have to deal with it. We must deal with it. And I also think we need to demand that scientists start looking for real. Instead of they spend so much money, like they're actually not spending that much money. This is the interesting thing. There's not that much money really being spent on a reasonable ways to, without profit motive. Like, what will work to stop this pollution? Like, the remediation, the soil, phytoremediation with microbes, the Knief, the cannabis, those things with the deep roots, those things absorb the radioactive contamination. The phytoremediation can work. I mean, it doesn't do anything. It just absorbs it out of the soil so we can use it. But I'm going to have someone on who says that he believes that they know that there's a way to keep using this energy so we don't have to keep building more and more of it. And if we dealt with it properly, we could actually pretty much turn the whole thing around pretty quickly. So that was a very optimistic point of view that I felt, you know, although he's frustrated that they're not doing it. But his name is Shaziz. He's a citizen scientist. He's got like his own radio show and stuff like that. So I met him recently and he's going to come on here. But I actually wanted to ask you about this in terms of, we touched on it briefly, I think, before we talked on the air and right at the beginning of the show, is the secrecy of not being able to actually talk. Like, people go to these meetings and they find out information, but then in their daily lives, like, we're all just expected to just accept the fact that the EPA or the Department of Energy is going to go away and no one's going to be held responsible. And yet that guy, what's his name, Stanger, isn't that his name, the man who owns Republic Services, they all get to live their beautiful lifestyles. And yet we're expected to keep our trap shut about it and just accept that that is how, like here in Oregon, I mean, you know, honestly, like, we have right up here, we're told that we are a non-nuclear state, but we have the Albany Research Center, which is a fuse rep site.
Well, besides that, you're upstream from the Columbia River, which Hanford is the most polluted site in the United States.
You bet.
So, you know, it's...
And on the coast, and we're getting hit from Fukushima. I mean, pretty badly, too. It's sad what it looks like on our coastlines, I have to say. It's very sad.
I even just saw an update the other day regarding new levels that have been recorded there that are some of the highest levels that have ever been recorded. So, yep, Fukushima is not going away. Ionizing radiation exposure is not going away. The best thing that people can do is become educated about it, learn about this thing that can hurt you that you can't see or smell or taste or you know, even know that you're receiving it necessarily. And so, you know, a lot of people have gone out and bought Geiger counters and bought different things, and you really have to be educated about how those instruments work and also mm-hmm. what they're reporting. But more importantly, it's an understanding that you're already being hit with this. It's just that now you're getting hit even more often with it, and there's a risk there. And so it's up to people really to become educated about it. It's not an easy thing. People tend to resist knowing this kind of information. It's not good information. It's not fun. It doesn't go down with beer on a Friday night very well. people tend to resist this information because it's not a happy subject. And yeah. unfortunately, a lot of the people that I have come to know, I should say fortunately, but it's unfortunate in that the reason that I know them now is generally because we are together in a fight of disease. You know, my father died of cancer, and many other, just when I think about all of the people that I know, and I understand that this is anecdotal information, but it's when I reflect back on the street that I used to live in on, and all of the people just along that street that are passed, and every one of their backyards was along the creek. I just, these are images that just don't get out of my mind. And I think I told you the last time we spoke that I would go to the oncologist with my father, and we would run into old neighbors of ours regularly. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and see people from the old neighborhood. And we'd say, oh, well, what a coincidence. And no, it was no coincidence. We were, you know, we were all being toxically exposed to cancer-causing substances. So,
do you think your doctors knew? You think your doctors suspected anything?
Well, sure, I do. But here's the thing, and I worked in healthcare for a good long time, so I know something of the psychology of doctors. They don't care how you get sick. They care about how you get better. And they're not interested in hearing the story about how you broke your leg. They just want to set the cast for you. They don't, you know, really, they, it's not their place to be concerned or to judge. And when doctors do this, it's generally frowned upon. And for that matter, there was a physician out here in St. Charles County who worked in the emergency room at one of the local hospitals here, who actually called in, made a report to the state licensing authority because that doctor had been seeing an abnormal amount of childhood leukemia patients. And they thought that there could be a problem, and they reported it. And so, of course, there was a huge investigation. And when they investigated it, they included other areas from other counties that did not have the same radioactive pollution that we have here in St. Charles County. And so they thinned the crowd and made it be so that it wasn't a statistical anomaly. So these are kind of massaging of numbers and the kind of misrepresentation of information that we cannot tolerate from our government. They're supposed to be here to protect us. And unfortunately, we really have to hold their hand to the fire and say, you're going to protect us because it's your job. And I'm going to, you know, be up your butt the whole time to make sure that you're doing your job because people's lives are at stake. That's what we're talking about.
Well, that's the point of the Republican agenda, though, Wendy, is, okay, so these people aren't doing it, so you can keep your tax money. Nobody has to pay any taxes, and we're not going to have the EPA. We're not going to have the department. And if your city wants to tax you the same amount as you were giving to the feds, okay, that's up to them. So you get to pay, and otherwise, if you're happy, you know, and if you want to clean it up yourself, more power to you. That's the Republican agenda.
There's no doubt. Just the fact that the EPA hasn't been dissolved yet, and it's already a couple weeks into the new administration, tells me that, you know, he may have been seriously looking at it, but it's probably not as easy as he thinks because of all these things, because the Department of Energy is ultimately legally responsible for all war weapons waste produced by this country. So, you know, it's until you get a firm grasp of the understanding of the implications of what's happening and all of the different agencies involved and you know, the whole mess of it, there's no question that if the EPA were to be dissolved, that it would be potentially disastrous, and disastrous all across the country for everyone, for all of our citizenship. And then there's one small part of me that hopes that if the EPA is dissolved, that the sites that are under EPA jurisdiction somehow revert back to the Department of Energy and that they become cleaned up as well, because the areas of the EPA responsibility are not getting cleaned up. They're getting they're not even getting tested appropriately. They're just getting put off and put off and put off for years and years and years. And there's document after document that states that the stuff is bad and they need to get rid of it. And the EPA has been, you know, doing the cheaper thing all along instead of
just
cleaning
like
it up.
Just like the NRC.
They've been working the PR angle. They've been, you know, trying to steadily reassure people that these poisons in our environment aren't really causing the diseases that we have. It's a little, you know, I mean, to say that it's a little insulting is insulting. It's horrible. It's genocidal. It's, you know, they need to be responsible for the war weapons waste that this country created in order to win World War II. We still have World War II casualties that are living right here in St. Louis that are being exposed to the war weapons from World War II currently. So, you know, this stuff won't ever go away. We're going to keep on talking about it. Again, thank you for having me on your show, because it's really important that people understand that St. Louis is the first secret city, that, you know, we do have the radioactive contamination here, and there are different government agencies involved, and it's a really complicated issue, one that deserves our attention and deserves our discussion, and thank you for giving me the platform to be able to discuss it like this. I really appreciate it.
Well, you can come back anytime. I love having you on, because I agree with you. We cannot talk about this enough until we actually do, until they really start taking it seriously. They're sort of pussyfooting around out there. It's so infuriating. I mean, I honestly, my hat is off to the people of St. Louis, because if it was me, I would be spitting nails if I was living there. I would literally, I would be camping on the governor's lawn. I would be sleeping on the sidewalk in front of his house, because this is just outrageous, the level of contamination that people have had. When, now that I look at these FuseWrap sites, I bet you 2 to 1 in every one of those communities, we are going to see St. Louis copied all over again. If I'm going to actually drive by that contaminated FuseWrap site up in Albany. I'm very close to that, maybe an hour and a half, an hour away from there. So I'm going to go take a look. I did not realize it was run by FuseWrap.
Well, certainly check it out and get informed. But, you know, maybe you can do it from afar, because it is
How cute you are. Don't go there.
Well, I hate to see people. Well, that's one of the kind of disturbing things about this site out here in St. Charles, this Interpretive Center, is that they have children that take field trips out there, and it's like, no, this is not anywhere for your children to be. Children need to be away from this place. It's polluted. That's why you're, you know, you can learn about pollution without being in the middle of it. Unfortunately, right. I don't know if you can, Lonnie, just because, like you said, with that Pacific and Fukushima and things, you're probably being bombarded with particles, and, you know, more than average. And quite frankly, the government just doesn't know what to do about it, or they can't do anything, or it's physically impossible for them to try to, you know, somehow block it. You know, then the question is, well, why don't they warn us? Well, because probably people don't understand. It's I know that St. Louis kind of went through a process in terms of how to explain radiation exposure to people, and, you know, that it took a while for them to come up with documents, but they did. FuseWrap has documents that show people that they need to go inside during a radiation emergency. You know, we're kind of putting our lives in the hands of the people that are running our local government, because it would be up to them to sound any kind of an alarm system, or to instigate any type of management of the system. But my hopes have been met regarding my own personal representation, because the county council that we have out here, they're well aware of the radioactive pollution. They know about the fire at Westlake Landfill, so they know about the airborne particles and all of the chemicals that exist there. And so he tells me that they have a plan for a radioactive emergency, and I believe him. He's, you know, I would like to hope that some of our elected representatives really do have the interest of the people in mind. And I should mention that this guy is a Republican, and he really is very well spoken on the subject, and knows the implications of radioactive pollution, and really seems to be sympathetic to the cause. So I'm grateful to have an ally in that respect. So, but again, I don't know that he became aware of it until after my husband and I gave a presentation to the county council. So I guess if I were going to give one takeaway message to your listeners today, Lonnie, I would ask them all to consider going to their local representative, look up the FuseWrap site nearest them, and let their elected officials know that there is a federal program that is dedicated to cleanup of war weapons waste, the FuseWrap program, and this is the site closest to them, and they need to be informed of this. And like you said, I bet a lot of people are completely unaware. They don't know about this program. They don't know about the pollution in their area. They don't know about the cleanup. So I think going to a local local Suzerap site and looking it up and looking to see where they're actually doing the cleanups is really a good first step in becoming educated on the subject. And then again, engage your local county councils and your local representation, because they will really help to be a bridge between, you know, between the people and the federally elected. It's very difficult to feel well represented from a federally elected. The senators and the representatives have millions of people under their purview, so certain there's a lot of people that feel like their individual concerns aren't being addressed. But the fact is, politics is prioritization, and they won't know that it's a priority until enough people come together and say it's a priority. So we need to keep on educating people. We need to keep on getting the word out. Let people know that this is something that exists in their community that's harmful to them, and they need to become engaged and be active, put their courage feet on.
Well, people need to decide that it matters to them, that they're willing to actually get engaged and start, instead of just accepting the fact that this is what I mean. Like, we have had alternative facts for 70 years, and we're having a come to Jesus moment in our country right now. Like, we have got to face the music, to be honest. It is really like, if we want to survive and thrive as human beings, it's not just the global warming. I can't believe that the scientists are not willing to acknowledge that nuclear pollution has probably and most likely exacerbated, if not been the primary kickoff for global warming, for the destruction of our environment. Because when I look at what's happened, you overlay the beginning of the nuclear testing bomb and how we started falling off the cliff shortly thereafter, you can't disassociate that. There's been no testing. Once again, we suffer from no testing. But you know what, Wendy, we have about a minute and a half left. I wanted to give you, again, the last word. We've been listening to Lonnie Clark and the Age of Fission radio show with our guest and friend of our show, Wendy Lumetta, who's a St. Louis activist. She's a citizen and really has turned into an activist because she lives there. So thank you, Wendy, for joining us. We have about a minute left.
Thank you so much, Lonnie, for having me on. It's always a joy to talk to you. You're always so passionate about your feelings and your desire to help. It is truly something that gives me a real lift to my spirits to see that there are people that care. There are people that want to be engaged. Not everyone is just passively accepting the situation. They're actively resisting the situation, and that's what we need is people to be aware and to actively resist the things. We're not going to accept the things that we cannot change. We're going to change the things we cannot accept. So thank you again for giving this platform and to giving all of this attention to the issues of St. Louis. You're very much appreciated.
Well, I'll tell you what, St. Louis is us. And what I've discovered since I've really started looking at St. Louis, because St. Louis forced me to really look at, like, beyond my little, I mean, I got involved in this because of Fukushima. So I really had bought the Kool-Aid, as I said earlier. So it is on all of us. I'm going to see if Jules will also supply this map of the DOE that highlights all the FUSRAP, the DOD, the CERCLA, all the other zones that our government maintains because of its activities. So please do take action. Put your courage feet on. Thank you for listening to us. We're going to have Glenn Woodford on tomorrow. And we really appreciate you guys joining us. Please spread the word. www.ucy.tv/AOF.
Truth on the Tracks. You can catch every Monday night and Friday.